Hey, How Not to Sailors, Bradford here with a special edition of Listener Questions. How Not to Sail, sponsored by our awesome Patreon patrons and Latitudes and Attitudes magazine. They ruined my life, so why not let them ruin yours today at latsats.com. So if you're new to How Not to Sail, this is not a regular episode. In fact, if you haven't already, I might suggest you go back and check out the very first episode in Season 1 called Bitchin'.
So, I'm diving under my boat with a hookah rig in my marina.
But hey, it's your life. You can listen in any order you want to. And as always, your central control panel, your North Star, your compass rose, as it were, is at HowNotToSail.com, where you have the audio podcast, the YouTube stuff, blog posts, guest blog posts, and everything all rolled together in one sexy website. But since it's been a while since I've done this, and to celebrate over 70,000 downloads of the podcast, I wanted to take a minute to answer some viewer questions. No, not viewers, listeners. And I've added a simple way to get hold of me at HowNotToSail.com. Just go to the contact menu item at the top of the webpage or go to HowNotToSail.com/contact. I always love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment you'd like read on the podcast, include your name and your hometown if you feel like it. We've got some questions both about How Not to Sail and about the How Not to Sail podcast. Our first question is a How Not to Sail question, and it comes from Captain Bob, who I assume is not Captain Bob Bitchin', as he already knows the answer to this one. And the question is, what is the worst sailing or boating mistake you've made? Well, Captain Bob, there are so many to choose from, but one comes to mind pretty quick. There you go. We'll use that ominous spring reverb sound from my boom stand in the studio. You might remember it from last season. Yeah, that music helps too. Anyway, it was summer 2013 and we just brought JC Sails down from the lake in Georgia where we bought her down to St. Pete. We'd had some refitting done, like replacing the crappy gate valves on the through hulls with proper valves, putting in new port lights, which I've subsequently had to redo, and getting the new name put on the transom, which did go successfully. Now it was time to christen her, which I figured we had to do 9 miles offshore since we were planning to smash a champagne bottle on the stem. Did I mention I hadn't driven her more than about a half mile on the salt water yet? I had not. Nonetheless, that summer morning found the Admiral and I well hungover and motoring down Pasagril to go out North Channel into the Gulf of Mexico. Now, I'm just guessing that the wind and the current were coming from two different directions that day because it was kind of choppy. Okay, very choppy. We're talking short wavelength, 4-foot, random pyramidal waves. Something the Admiral referred to as the washing machine. Things were bouncing around down below and books getting thrown from the cabinets. I decided to put the mainsail up. Now, in addition to all the bouncing around, there's me holding on to the boom with my feet on the cabin top and my torso out over the rail on the leeward side of the boat, without a harness or a life jacket. This seemed to make the Admiral a wee bit nervous, and she may or may not have proceeded to feed the fish over the windward side of the cockpit. Meanwhile, I dropped the forward winch handle over the side and proceeded to curse like William S. Burroughs with Tourette's, the usual style. I finally managed to get things kinda together and retreat back up the channel, but it was another few days before we managed to christen the boat. I guess the moral here is, fortune may favor the bold, but the ocean kills the stupid. So maybe there's a happy medium somewhere in there. Our next question is from Jenna in Clearwater, who asks, I noticed that the most recent episodes are different than the first 20 or so. What's the scoop with that? That's a great question, Jenna, and the short answer is there's no prohibition against being schizophrenic when making a podcast. Also, there's no crying in baseball. But if you're new to How Not to Sail, we are officially in Season 2 now. And after wrapping up Season 1 with the Eric Stone episode and the big season-ending party, I decided I would do something a little different for Season 2. Also, as I alluded to somewhere in Season 1, my situation is a little different right now, and it's difficult to take a month-long trip like I did for Season 1. So while Season 1 is a single story arc about how I sailed around Florida to the Miami Boat Show to launch this podcast and meet salty people along the way, in Season 2, I'm doing mostly single-topic episodes, which might be based around an interview with somebody, or a trip, or no telling what. But you can bet your keel it's going to center around how not to sail. So if by chance you just happen on this here episode first, you can jump in anywhere you like and listen to any episode, and I hope you'll enjoy it. I would recommend to go back and listen starting from Episode 1, which is called Bitchin'. It's easy to find. You just go to hownottosail.com/1 or look at that very first one in the queue in your podcast software or what have you. It's also right there on the homepage at hownottosail.com. Season 1, starting with Episode 1, has a kind of unique story, I think you might say, and it's the perfect preparation for all of the Season 2 and subsequent podcasts. But who am I to tell you what to do? Actually, that brings up a question for you. And it ties in with another question I got about the How Not to Sail Facebook group. I'm tickled stinkless to see that the How Not to Sail Facebook group has grown by about 50% in the last couple of weeks. The thing is, I have no idea why. So if you are one of the folks who just joined the Facebook group, I'd love for you to hit me up here in the comments and let me know where you found out about it, because it seems like kind of a sudden thing. And you can find the comments and show notes for this episode at hownottosail.com/24. And that's the way it works for every episode. You can find notes, links, photos, sometimes maps, transcripts, who knows what, depends on the episode, for any given episode by going to hownottosail.com/that episode number. And again, if you're one of those people who just joined the Facebook group, please hit me up at hownottosail.com/24 in the comments and let me know how you found it, because I am puzzled. In fact, there hasn't even been a menu link on the website to the Facebook group for a little while now. But if you want to join and have any trouble finding the Facebook group, just type hownottosail.com/community into your browser, and guess what? It'll take you right there. Just remember, to join the Facebook group, you must answer the 2 membership questions, which are not about your personal life, but just what is your best How Not to Sail moment, and where do you listen to the podcast, if at all. Otherwise, the bosun will roll up the gangway or something like that, and you will not be able to board. Aww. Switching gears a little, we have a question from Tom in Chicago, who asks, what is your recommendation for someone thinking about buying a boat? Well, Tom, I have numerous thoughts on that. But my first thought is, don't take out a loan. If you're worried about paying off a banknote, you're not going to have much fun on that vessel. And also, it makes it harder to earn those fun tickets that it takes to maintain and use the boat. So that's my first thought. Pay cash for something that you can afford and enjoy. Also, I'd say, try it before you buy it. Not just check out the boat you're looking at, but actually have some boating experience and make sure that it's something you want to do and not just some romantic idea. Because once you get out there, you may find that it's even more romantic than you thought, or more likely that it's more romantic than you thought and also horrible at the same time. Kind of depends on what you like. And sailing or boating on the salty water is a lot different than sailing on the fresh water, as I discovered when we went to christen our boat. Get some training, especially on saltwater, before you buy your boat. As I think I alluded to earlier, you can have one extreme or the other between being totally clueless and a danger to yourself and others out there, or being petrified and never going out. Me and the Admiral actually did have some ASA sailing training before we bought the boat, and I spent about 6 months up on the lake in Georgia practicing sailing by myself before we took the boat down to Florida. And still, I made stupid mistakes. Which leads me to another question. Terry in Baltimore asks, are you actually as clueless as you make out on the podcast? And the answer is no. And yes. Like anyone else who gets out there on the water, especially cruising, I've made a ton of mistakes, many of which I detail in the book How Not to Sail and the podcast. It's just gonna happen. But if you want to be a cruiser, you've got to be a problem solver. And I think I'm half-assed decent at that. You've also got to learn to take care of things before they break or fail, and I've grudgingly become better at that. I did have some official training, actually, back in the day with the ASA sailing courses. It's impossible to overstate the value of actual training and practical experience, whether it's through the training or through sailing with your friends and family, or sailing as crew, which I admit I haven't done because I am antisocial. I think there are a couple of other underrated channels for preparation as well, and I may catch some flack for these, but one is reading. I read a shit ton of books before I actually got on the water. I'll put a link to some of my favorites in the show notes at hownottosail.com/24. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Latitudes and Attitudes magazine, which, as I joke with Bob, ruined my life. But seriously, Latitudes and Attitudes magazine was a major inspiration in me deciding to buy a boat and go cruising. And every issue, they have not only pictures of people in remote, beautiful locations around the world enjoying themselves, but also stories from folks about what it's really like, which often involves fixing your boat in exotic locations, as the joke goes. And plenty of what you might call how not to sail tips, although they don't call it that. Finally, and this one may be a little controversial, here's what I'm thinking. They have simulator programs for pilots, right? Why not one for sailors? Well, as it turns out, for a couple of years I was very engrossed in an online or offline game for PC computers called Virtual Skipper. I'm not recommending it as a replacement for actual experience on the water, but it is a whole lot cheaper to discover how different things wreck your boat without wrecking your boat. Just saying. I spent large number of hours playing Virtual Skipper either online against other folks or just locally on the computer. And it's actually a pretty cool and accurate way to see how your boat will respond to different sail combinations and wind angles and all that sort of thing. Sadly, I don't have it on my computer anymore, but hey, now I got an actual boat to play with. But anyway, if I can dig it up and it still exists, I'll also put a link to Virtual Skipper at hownottosail.com/24. Well, that was a strange place to end Q&A, but the Admiral's back, so I gotta go. Remember, if this is your first time listening to How Not to Sail, this is a Q&A episode, not a regular one, so go back to hownottosail.com/1 and get started with Season 1. Or do whatever you want. Meanwhile, you can always hit me up on the new contact form on the website or go to hownottosail.com/contact, and I'll see you next time on
How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
Yeah, the aft one's loose and the forward one's completely out.